Hello, and welcome to a special episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And this is a special episode where we are going to talk about all the amazing progress that has occurred with CGM, really highlighting what's happened in the last year. But we're going to bring some history into it because to see how innovative, just how much things have changed, it's helpful to put it into perspective. And this marks the 20-year anniversary of CGM and to see how much it's improved and how many people are now using it is truly incredible. So we are going to talk about the four key players, not necessarily in any particular order, although we are kind of focusing on who came first a little bit. And that would be, at least in the U.S., Medtronic really started us out. And the first device that was available was professional CGM, where it was blinded by the person with diabetes. And it wasn't until we downloaded the data that we were able to see the last 72 hours. And that was our first CGM. And I don't know that it was so accurate, but at least it provided information that we never had before. And Natalie, I'll turn it over to you to kind of show us, well, that's where we've been, but where have we gone since then?
Absolutely, Diana. So 25 years of CGM now. I mean, 1999, MiniMed at the time, it wasn't even Medtronic yet. MiniMed was this tiny little company out of California. They were kind of like, look, we should look at data differently. I mean, that was who they were. They were cowboys. They were these amazing people that said, this might actually help improve care. And that's where they started way back in 1999. The first sensor did. It had a cord. We had people shower with plastic bags around their necks, right? And the plastic, they would undo the plastic. The sensor would go, the receiver was connected with a cord to the, I mean, it was, you know, this is 1999. The Guardian came out in 2004. We had, for children and teenagers, their indication didn't come till 2007. So 7 years after their first device. So think about what's happening, right? We had an iPro in 2008, the iPro 2 in 2012. And really what we started to see was like Guardian and those things that we're now used to. The CE mark didn't come till 2016. So when we look at, Diana, what's happened in the past, you know, year or two, look at where we are. We're at Guardian 4 now. But what's even more exciting is the next step, which is Simplera. So, Diana, do you want to talk a little bit about our most exciting part of Medtronic in 2024 and looking into 2025?
Absolutely. So there was a lot of progress made going from Guardian 3 to Guardian 4, where now there's no calibrations. But this year was really FDA approval now of Simplera, where not only are there not calibrations, but the whole thing is disposable. It's inserted much more easily, doesn't require recharging in between use. And so that is really exciting. And in addition to that, there is actually a partnership now with Medtronic and Abbott, where Abbott sensors will be made to work with Medtronic insulin pumps for ease of use. And so that is just awesome to see that kind of partnership and collaboration is not something we've seen in the past. And so that is very, very exciting. And then also the Simplera CGM being available to work with the InPen, Medtronic's connected pen. So all of that has happened in the last year and very, very exciting.
Oh, 2025 is going to be an amazing year for CGM again, right? We expect each of the companies to have, you know, more development, more, you know, all of it. Like it's, I can't wait. I can't wait for ADA. I can't wait for ATTD. I can't wait for ACE, for Endo, all of it, because we do expect advances in every single company we're talking about today. And Medtronic is going to lead the way with, you know, that 15-day Abbott Libre background CGM. So it won't be a Libre 3 or a Libre 3 Plus. It will be a sensor designed by Abbott for Medtronic. To with this amazing algorithm that both you and I love, you know, powering that algorithm.
Yeah. So stay tuned on that. All right. Next, Dexcom. All right, Natalie, you want to share a little bit of history on where Dexcom has been?
Absolutely. So Dexcom was first FDA approved. The STS sensor was a three-day sensor that was FDA approved in 2006. I remember getting a phone call saying, hey, do you want a Dexcom? And I said, sure. And I was told, hey, I need your credit card number. And that was my endo, right? Back in 2006, sure, I'll buy one of those. And I felt like I was getting it like, I mean, you were buying these cash. There was no, by the way, at that time, there was no insurance coverage for these. We bought them because we thought they were, it was the right thing to do. And so Dexcom STS 3 days, 2007, STS 7 came out. And then all of a sudden, Dexcom just started, right? They did the 7 Plus and in 2009, the G4 in 12, the G4 Platinum in 12, Professional in 14, Share app, right? Like we all have, every sensor has a Share now. Sensor app Share in 14, Platinum with Share in 15, G5 in 15, right? So it was like boom, 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 right? In 2018, we had the G6. And so, and then after that, we had the 7. And now we're like, and it's just kept going, right? Dexcom has plowed through the marketplace. And before we have you close out what's happened in this last year, the thing I would say about Dexcom is they have been the most user-friendly to be friends with any other pump company, any other company that wants to do anything at all. They're like, let us help you. We want to use your product in anything that you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's been just incredible what I've witnessed over the last 10 years. Especially going from like G4 to then G5. And with G5, then having Medicare coverage, that was really huge because so many more people then got access to it. We had it available on the phones and finally being able to share data with loved ones. It's really remarkable. And in the last year, there's also been a lot of excitement too. We've seen more integration with different insulin pumps. So now working with the iLet, with the t:slim X2, as well as the Mobi, also Omnipod 5, and presumably there will be more in the future as well. So that has been really, really awesome. And then we heard about the recent partnership with the Oura Ring. So that's going to be exciting as well.
And to close G7, I mean, you know, one piece, no calibration, 10 days looking at 15 in the future. Again, everyone's got a future, and that would be the Dexcom future. Is the goal is 15-day wear, no transmitter anymore. And the big thing I think for a lot of people with diabetes is right now it's 10 days, 25-minute warm-up, right? And then what we call that, there's an extra 12 hours. So the person they have an extra 12 hours of wear before they actually have to change it. So it's really 10 and a half days. And also what we call a hot warm-up, right? That magnet that's released when you insert it is starting that clock so that if you want to put the next sensor in before the old sensor finishes, there's actually no warm-up time at all. And so those are really patient-centric decisions that they've made. And I'm extremely happy about those through Dexcom's, you know, leadership team.
Absolutely. And then just even updating the app itself, making it easier to share data, now being able to do it directly through the G7 app has been really helpful, and just adding more to it. And then, of course, over-the-counter CGM, right? So the Stelo came out this year, and that is bringing CGM to the masses. Now a prescription's not even required. Anyone can go online and be able, I mean, they have to have some money, but they can go online and be able to purchase a Stelo. And so it's accessible to everyone. And so that is really huge. And I think we'll see in the upcoming months and year how that really changes the landscape and all the different types of people that are using it, including people with prediabetes or people without diabetes.
Right. And are we going to, you know, we've had a handful of people come through already that got one because somebody they knew was wearing it and they decided to try it. And they noticed postprandial glucose spikes that were indicative of prediabetes. Right. And so we are seeing people earlier. We are going to be able to help them faster and get them the medications that they need to, you know, hopefully delay onset of type 2 diabetes or treat type 2 diabetes, depending on where they are when they present.
All right, Natalie, share some history with Abbott.
So before Abbott was, let's start with the Navigator, right? So Freestyle was its own company, right? They made meters and strips and what we called the Freestyle Navigator. And in 2007, they had this amazing glucose sensor that people with diabetes loved, clinicians loved it, and they stopped making it in 2008. So it was a very short-lived device that we all loved, though. And what happened was the Freestyle brand was bought by Abbott. And Abbott said, let's do this again. We love parts of the Navigator, but let's redo this. And so in 2014, the first Abbott Libre was launched. And then after that, what happens, right? Abbott says, let's go. This is important. People with diabetes need to know what their glucose is, not four times a day, but all the time, just like the other companies. So the LinkUp app came out in Europe in 15, the Libre Pro, which we still use in our practice today, and then came out in 16. In 17, we had the Libre Flash, which flashed the glucose and you could read it. And then we had the 14-day come out in 18, the Libre 2 and the Libre 2 LinkUp app in 19. And now we have the Libre 3. And then this year, we now have Libre 3 Plus, which is 15 days, no scanning, no none of that, right? So I actually did an edit of an article the other day, and they were still talking about flash glucose monitoring. And I'm like, we're done with that. We don't even need to bring this up in a written article. You will sound dated already because we're not using them anymore. Occasionally, I have someone wander in that still somehow has one, but that's not what we're using, and that's not what Abbott represents, right? So what do I love about where Libre is? Libre has now just started to branch into Libre 2 Plus with Tandem, Libre 2 Plus with Omnipod, Libre 3 with iLet. So we're seeing this as another company that's saying, just like Dexcom, look, let's help our industry partners who want to give people with diabetes who are using those devices an option to measure glucose in a different way.
Yeah. And also this year, announcing the partnership with Tidepool was big. So another way to be able to access the data is really exciting. And I think you bring up a good point. Like for the longest time, it was this, intermittently scan versus real time. And you're right. No. Like, I mean, yes, could you still use Libre 2? But I think for the most part, the Libre 3 is so accessible. That is what most people are using. And there was also a time where we didn't have the mobile apps for everything. So there was a time where you just had the reader. And then the mobile app was only available with certain devices. Now, fortunately, the mobile app is widely accessible. And so many people have smartphones that it's just become seamless to be able to use it. And something I really want to give kudos to Abbott about is making CGM affordable. I think when they went ahead and pitched the Navigator, they realized, okay, it was kind of an expensive device. There's got to be a way to manufacture this better. And they did it. They truly brought CGM to the masses by making it affordable to the point where even if someone doesn't have insurance coverage, they created a program where at least it was $75 a month. So many people were able to still pay that, even if they didn't have insurance coverage. And of course, now the insurance coverage is so much better. So it has been awesome. And then thinking of where they're going, we know they're working on continuous ketone monitoring. So that's really going to be what's next, not just CGM, but ketones, and who knows what other substances could be in the future as well. So that is just very exciting.
And again, a call out to them working with Medtronic to say, you know, let's get a 15-day sensor on a really amazing algorithm and explore how can we make that better for the person with diabetes, right? I'm very excited about that. And I you know, you never know what timelines are going to be. You don't. You know, they can't even talk about it. Like, we haven't had a rep come and say anything, just so you guys know, at either of our practices. But I think it's going to happen pretty quickly because they're using technology that already exists, that already is FDA approved, right? So it won't be as long as you might think. How's that? And I love that they are working with Eilat. I love that they're working with Tandem. I love that they're working with Omnipod. Think about it. They are working with all the companies out there right now. And they're working with Tidepool, which we're going to see more of Tidepool in the next several years as new pumps are FDA approved using the Loop algorithm. We're excited about all of this. It's going to be a great next couple of years looking at CGM and the companies actually making the decision to branch out.
Right. And something we didn't even mention. So Libre 3, much smaller than Libre 2. Dexcom G7 is smaller than the G6. The Simplera will be smaller than the Guardian. So they've all gotten smaller and they've also gotten more accurate as well. Yeah. All right. So last, we cannot forget, right? Last company, Senseonix, Eversense, has the only implantable CGM. So Natalie, when did this come out?
So Eversense got their first CE mark in 2016, and then in 2017 they got the XL. So what's happened with Eversense is this in a quick form, right? They had a 3-month CGM, 90 days, then it was a 180 CGM, and just this year they got CGM 365 days, yeah. Right? So and they are working now with industry partners to try to integrate their CGM with different insulin pumps. So big, big, big steps in the right direction for Eversense as well.
Yeah. So, right. They got the iCGM status this year, which allows them now to partner with insulin pumps for automated insulin delivery. So hopefully we'll see some of those collaborations happen over the next year. And then that 365-day wear is really huge. I remember with the 90-day, I mean, that was exciting. That's 3 months. Now it extends 4 times that amount. So just one procedure a year to put that in. And I know, the other thing is they reduced their calibrations too, that now it's once a week. Originally with the 90-day, it was twice a day. And then it got cut down to once a day with the 180-day version. And now it's once a week. So that is awesome to see that innovation. And then we know what they're working on is actually to get rid of that outer transmitter. So right now there's still a transmitter that needs to go on the outside, and that they're trying to get it where it's all put under the skin so you wouldn't even have to use that outer transmitter. So that's kind of some of the things to expect in the pipeline.
In the pipeline, and also accuracy, right? This is the sensor is very accurate, and they're very proud of that. So this is an exciting time for Eversense, and I can't wait to see and hear what's going to, I mean, I'm telling you, 2025 is going to be a big year.
It's going to be awesome. And one more thing I want to say, because I didn't mention it with the history, but pregnancy. So over the last couple of years, Libre and Dexcom have now been okay to use in pregnancy. That contraindication was removed. And that has really increased access to pregnant people with diabetes. So that has been awesome. There's so much more we could say, but we're going to not talk for 100 hours. So with that, thank you so much for tuning in. And that wraps up this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.